For our scripture today, I want us to turn to the book of John, chapter. Actually, we're going to go to John 3:16. We're going to work our Bibles a little bit today as we talk about something that may be something that you're already aware of, but want to lay out some what you might call first principles in some regards, so that you are aware. We're going to start out with John 3:16. So I'm going to turn there with you. Things will be on the screen. We're in the New King James Version. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Now think about that verse. You've read it often. You've heard it often. I remember at times seeing on TV, I'd be watching growing up maybe a football game, and somebody would have John 3:16, and the person had a big wig on with the multiple colors hair. But it's 3:16, but whoever. I'm reminded of a time I was talking to a gentleman that was working for me, and he was from India. And I got on the conversation of his faith, and I asked him about his faith, and he said that he was a Christian. And at some point I must have asked him, how did he know he was a Christian, or how he became a Christian, or something like that. And he said his parents were Christian. Now in some cultures, in some situations, we're from different places, but you might have where people are born into a Christian household, so they say, I'm Christian. Or they're born into a Catholic household, so they say, I'm Catholic. Or they're born into a Protestant household, and they say, I'm Protestant. There's some parts of the world where it's the Christians and the Protestants might have been at physical altercations, or at war, as it were, with each other. It might be Christian versus Muslim. It might be, and they'll say, I was born such and such. But I want to, as we look at these scriptures, talk about that you're not born a Christian. We've talked many times about that you're born in sin. You're not a Christian because you're born into a Christian family. You have to ask to become a Christian yourself. You do not become a Christian because your parents decided for you at birth that you're a Christian. There was a time period in history where basically they determined by what kingdom you were part of, by which church you was baptized into as an infant. And so they would baptize them as an infant into the church. And then there became something called, and you probably called of them, Anabaptists. And you might run into that maybe around some Mennonite areas, but though Anabaptist, as I recall, is it's baptized again, meaning they may have been baptized as a child, but they chose to be baptized again. Some of them lost their life just for that, because some did not believe. This is way back in the 1600s, I believe it was, but or earlier. And people may go through an infant baptism today and say, I'm done. The Anabaptists went down the path of they were making the choice as an adult that I'm following Christ. And so I want to remind us or tell us that we need to have an active relationship with God of our own choice. It's not something the parents can decide for their child. And so we read John 3:16, but I would like you to turn to the book of Romans, chapter 1, and we're going to read verses 20 through 23. We're going to touch on, as we bring up this topic, some areas that come across, and some questions, I guess you'd say, that are generated when we touch on this topic. In Romans chapter 1, verses 20 through 23, "For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and birds, and four-footed animals, and creeping things." It's basically saying, and the question that comes out is that God makes us aware of Himself, that there's something greater, something more powerful out there through His creation. And it talks about people are without excuse. People have turned to making their own gods and worshiping idols, as it were, in places throughout the world. But it's clear in that creation, they're without excuse, because it says in verse 20, being understood by things that are made. Are you starting to think about this thing? Is there's an awareness that God is out there? And we turn over to John chapter 9, verse 41. John 9, 41. So think about this as we look at these passages, that I am personally responsible for my relationship with God. I am personally responsible for my relationship with God. It's not my parents. It's not what my parents chose to do for me as a child. I am personally responsible. And we start seeing this formation of idea as Jesus talking to the Pharisees in verse 41, chapter 9, 41 of John. Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no sin, but now you say, 'We see,' therefore your sin remains." Meaning, He's not talking about their physical blindness. He's talking about the fact that you acknowledge that you can see what I say, I'm saying. You can understand what I am saying, so now you are accountable for what you know. You are accountable for what you know. So we've touched on people that maybe aren't in a place where Christ is preached. Christ needs to be preached, but there's some accountability there because they can see in creation. What we're talking about here is that God holds us accountable for what we know, what we understand. We've taught, preached to you before, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. That's from James. And so we come to the point in our lives that we're no longer children. We believe that children are innocent. They come to a point when they understand that there's a God, that there's right or wrong, and then they become accountable. Some call it the age of accountability. We look at Matthew 18, 1 through 4. Matthew 18, 1 through 4. We'll probably read through verse 5 just to complete that section. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus, saying, "Who then is greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" Then Jesus called a little child to him and set him in the midst of them and said, "Surely I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives one little child like this in my name receives me." There is a mixture of understanding that can happen there, because he's talking about becoming like little children. There's the little children are innocent. In Matthew 19:14, it says, "But Jesus said, let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. Let the little children come unto me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." There's an innocence in a child that plays into what Christ was saying about these children. Of such is the kingdom of heaven. Their innocence. So we believe that the children, until they reach that age of accountability, if they should die, that the Lord would take them. Just like we believe that a child is a child as an individual at conception. And when they are aborted, then, and are killed, the Lord takes them to himself. But there are some out there that would say that this child is not a child, it's a glob. The question you have then is, though some have survived being aborted, they are adults now. They might suffer physical pains, but they were aborted. They were thrown through the process of aborted, and they survived the abortion. Whatever type of abortion, it could be a chemical or whatever, they got expulsed out and come, and they were born alive. Some would say, just let them die. Some, and these same people that say, just let them die, are the ones that don't care whether you kill them when they're in the womb. They see no difference. But the child is innocent, known by God as an individual at conception. They can't make that choice. But as such is the kingdom of heaven. But we are reminded, though, that once we are beyond childhood, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." Whosoever believeth. So if someone takes a child and baptizes them, that does not save them. They will come to a point in their life, and in some religious circles and some practices and some doctrines, what happens is they come to a point where they have to confirm or assure that they are making the choice for themselves. And maybe baptism in itself is not something that is at issue, but if you take the baby baptism as your assurance to heaven, then you're missing. Because as it says, whoever believes, you have to believe yourself. John 1:10 through 14. We're doing again a little bit of Bible movement here, but I want to try to put our hands around these concepts. John chapter 1, verses 10 through 14. "He was in the world, and the world was made through him." This is referring to Christ. "And the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him." Listen here. "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." Who were born not of blood, they weren't born into a Christian family making them Christian, nor of the will of the flesh, that someone else desired them to be a Christian, nor the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, again, somebody else desired them Christian, but of God. And God's requirements are that we are converted, that we accept Christ as we receive him. It's a personal choice. I want you to see something, verse 12. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. Be careful when people say we're all God's children. Not everybody is a child of God. If you accept Jesus as your Savior and accepted him into your life for salvation, Scripture tells us that you become a joint heir with Jesus. God adopts you into the family of God, and we then become part of the family of God, joint heirs with Jesus, the Son of God. But we're not part of the family until we receive Christ. To them he gave the right to become the children of God, it says there in verse 11. To become the children of God. That means before you accept Christ, you are not a child of God. Because people might say, oh, I'm a child of God, and do whatever they want. They don't accept Jesus. But we're all child of God. It gives them excuses to live however they want to be their own God, because we're all child of God. And so I can't put a requirement on you based on what Scripture says, an expectation on you on how Christians should walk and believe, because you will say we're all children of God. We're not. Unless we've received Christ. And so for our last scripture, I want us to go to Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 13. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 13. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's something I have to do individually. And it means, when it says believes on him, it does not mean believes that he exists. We find in Scripture where it says even Satan believes and trembles. But just because you believe that God exists does not make you a target for heaven. I guess you're a target for heaven. The desire is for you to go to heaven. But just because you believe, I believe God exists, does not make me a Christian. I believe God exists doesn't make me a child of God. I believe God exists doesn't mean I'm going to make heaven my home. It doesn't mean, and it doesn't mean just because some people say I live a good life, doesn't mean you're going to make heaven your home. You have to make a personal choice for Jesus. There's a scripture that says if we walk in the light, as he is in light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all unrighteousness. I think that was a pretty close quote. We need to walk in the light that God sheds on our path. Walk in the light as he is in the light. It's an active relationship with God. So what have we touched on today? We are touched on that we each as adults are accountable. That God makes his presence known through creation. And when people look at creation, they understand that God is out there. It's hard to ignore. But then they choose not to understand God for who He is, but who understand God for who they want Him to be. Some might make idols and formations that they can control and move around. God's transcendent. He can't be controlled. They want to put Him in a picture that they want to put Him in. They want to, quote, worship them in their own way. How about we worship in the way God would like us to worship? Some might say, I was born a Christian, so I am a Christian. No, it's not what your parents were. Some might say, I was baptized, so that makes me a Christian when I was a child. No, that doesn't make you a Christian either. The innocent child's not accountable, but there comes a point in our life when we start to understand that there is a God, there is a right or wrong, and there's something wrong in our life. And we come accountable to God. And we have to make a choice for ourselves. Doesn't matter what our parents did. Doesn't matter what choices they made, whether they raised us in the church. Doesn't matter if we were born into their family, that they had us baptized as a child, or they dedicated us as a child. We have to make our own choice. And maybe we made that choice at some time in our life, but we need to continue to walk with God. And if we're walking with God, we've accepted Christ into our life, we then become part of the family of God at that point. So are you living an active relationship with God, or are you relying on something that was done in the past that's not current? Something that you did in your life, your choice for God, and maybe you've backslid. Or maybe you're relying on the fact that your parents did something for you when you were a child. Or maybe you're relying on your parents are Christians, your grandparents are Christians, but you know that you're not. You believe God exists, and so, you know, you're responsible now. You know what you should do. Where are you? Where are you personally in your relationship with God? Let's be standing together. Father God, I pray that as this message goes out, that whatever state the individual is in, that they would listen to You and realize they are accountable for where they are right now in their walk with God. And if they are not a Christian, that they need to get saved. If they backslid and stopped following God, they've got to get back right with God. They need to pray, Lord, forgive me. Lord, I want to follow You. Help me to follow You. Thank You for dying on the cross for me. And that they're sorry. But Lord, they want to follow You. Help to make that personal choice for You, to choose You on their own behalf and walk with You today. Bless us, we pray, dear Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.